Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're here visiting us for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us. It's so great to have you. Today on this International Sunday, the last Sunday of the Epiphany, I want to welcome all of our visitors from so many different places. We have a special steel band here today, so I want to thank our drummers for being here. They bring joy to our worship on this special day, right? There was a very, very slow car on the freeway. Imagine, it was going about 20 miles per hour in the 55 mile an hour zone. And so you can imagine that it was really slowing down the traffic. And eventually a police officer caught up to the car, and when the police officer looked in, he saw that it was some nuns, right? He could see the religious habit. And so the police officer pulls him over and eventually begins to ask the question. You know, the Mother Superior was driving in the front seat and some sisters in the back. Sister, what's going on? Something mechanically wrong with your car. You're going 20 miles per hour. This is a 55 mile an hour zone. By law, you can't go less than 45 on this highway. Oh, officer, but I saw the sign there. The sign says 20. Oh, yes, sister, because this is Highway 20. Oh, it's Highway 20. I get it. Now, when the police officer gazed at the back of the car, in the back seat, there were three nuns, and they were going, they were like in shock. I said, sister, what's wrong with them? I said, oh, well, we just got off of Highway 145. He could tell in their faces something was wrong. You know, in today's gospel, we are invited to think about the transfiguration. And your bulletins, as you walked into church today to worship, said this is the last Sunday in Epiphany. And if we go to the first Sunday of the Epiphany, do you remember what you saw? You remember the first time we celebrated Epiphany over there in January sometime? It was the wise men from the east, right? And they were coming looking for what? For a star. There was something different in the sky. They were astrologers, and they saw that there was something different about that light. And they looked up into the sky, and they saw there was something that was radically different. And that light, or that star, led them to the light of the world. Jesus, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah. You know, today, Jesus takes three of his friends, and he takes them to the top of a mountain, and he is revealed in his glory. And the gospel tells us that the light and the vestment he was wearing was so dazzling white, there was this radiance, whiter than any bleacher on earth could make it. But that transfiguration scene, the first thing is it brought to the disciples, obviously they were human beings, was a bit of fear and awe, a sense of what's going on. Jesus revealed his glory to them. And shortly after that, and they heard the voice from heaven, he says, we got to go back down. Now, of course, Peter's reaction, our typical human reaction, is let's just hang out here, right? Let's stay here. It feels so good to be here. Let's even build. Now, I can imagine Jesus. You can imagine Jesus, right? Saying to Peter, why don't you stick to your day job? You're not a contractor. Just go back to fishing. What are you going to build up here? Oh, yeah, let's build three tents, right? Let's build three dwellings. Let's stay here. And we have a tendency to react that way to almost everything. We seek comfort. And we want to be in a comfortable setting. And so Peter wanted to be in this new comfortable setting. Here it is. The Lord appears in his glory. There's no suffering here. There's no pain, no problem. The answer, my friends, was to be able to live with that experience in their hearts. But they had to go back down. And that's why Jesus tells them, we got to go back down. And by the way, you can't tell anyone. That's a tough one, right? The great Henry Drummond, the Scottish theologian, says, God does not make the mountains in order to be inhabited. Listen to this. God does not make the mountaintops for us to live on mountaintops. It is not God's desire that we live on mountaintops. We only ascend to the heights to catch a broader vision of the earthly surroundings below. But we don't live there. We don't tarry there. The streams begin in the uplands, but the streams descend quickly to gladden the valleys below. Part of the lesson in today's gospel is you can't live and stay on the mountaintop. How many of you here have been to Curcio or a special spiritual retreat? Let me see how many. How many have had this wonderful time of prayer where in the Word of God, in Scripture, in silence, you feel a sense of a spiritual high? Haven't you had that happen? Maybe many times throughout your life, I hope. And you realize that you can't stay up there. You got to come back down. You can't stay up there because that experience is at the service of something else. That spiritual high, that experience is at the service of keeping our hearts focused on what really matters. The glory of God. To experience the glory of God the way the disciples experienced it is something great. Now, do you remember today's opening collect, the opening prayer? I love this opening collect. It's got everything in there. It summarizes today's gospel brilliantly. It says to us that before the passion of your only begotten Son, his glory was revealed on the holy mountain. And then it says, grant to us, that's you and me, by the way, us, grant to us, beholding by the light of faith of his countenance, that we may be strengthened to bear our cross. See, that bearing of the cross doesn't happen up here, does it? At the top of the mountain. Where does that happen? Down in the valley of every day. The ups and downs of life, the struggles. And being changed into his likeness. In other words, being more like Christ, like Jesus, we may grow from glory to glory. In other words, the experience of the transfiguration for the disciples meant that they were seeing the truth of Jesus, that through the passion, through the death, through the suffering, there would be the glory of resurrection. And ultimately, Jesus manifested or anticipated the light of the resurrection at the top of that mountain in the transfiguration. They were given the privilege. Now, don't ask me why he chose those three, but he chose some of his disciples to see that, to see the glory, the transformation or transfiguration of the resurrection. You and I, we may not be called to live in the mountaintop, and we may not have many mountaintop moments in our lives. As a matter of fact, we'll probably have a lot of struggle, right? difficulties. Struggles coming from every side. Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's relationships, sometimes it's our job, our work, our economic situation. Sometimes it's a struggle with loved ones, with children, children with parents, parents with children. Struggles just going about our everyday lives. The valleys can be rough. But you know, we were not created to just stay on the mountaintop. The hope of Christian living is to have our feet on the ground, but our eyes fixed on the glory and the hope that is to come. We cannot lose the hope of the resurrection. We too must remember that that glory has been revealed to us by the very gift of our baptism. We share in the cross of Christ and we share in the glory that is to come. And we must have that hope in our hearts always. Without faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's hard to live with that sense of hope. There was a little boy out in his front yard, and every day he'd throw a ball up in the air and catch it, throw a ball up on the air and catch it. And one of his neighbors would observe this as he did it on and on and on forever. And the little boy, he did this very, very long time. And so one of his neighbors said, "Well, what exactly are you doing? I mean, I get it, but what are you doing?" And the little boy said, "Oh, you don't know, I'm playing a game of catch with God." He says, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, I always throw the ball up in the air, and he throws it right back." Now, sometimes what we don't realize in our relationship with God is that we must be in it. Listen to me carefully. What we don't realize about our relationship with God, about our spirituality, is that we must be in it. We have to give of ourselves in order to receive. We have to give of ourselves. We sometimes think spirituality will just come automatically, you know? Our growth in God, it's just going to come automatically. So we expect to have all these mountaintop experiences all the time. "Boy, if I feel this spiritual high, then that means I must be close to God." Do not be deceived by an emotional high, because spirituality has very little to do with an emotional high. And don't take my word for it. Look at the mystics throughout the Christian tradition. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, even our very own Benedict. Saint Benedict, back in the 4th and 5th century, spoke about this. It's very, very difficult when you choose to be close to God to always be up here. I don't know if I've ever told you the story of Teresa of Avila, that wonderful mystic. Teresa of Avila one day, and she was a tough reforming nun. I mean, she did a lot of church reform. And she fell on the steps, and she got all banged up. I don't know if she broke anything. I don't know if they had a way of knowing back then, you know, if you broke a bone or not. But she was really banged up and hurt. And she said right after her fall, she said, "Oh, Jesus," she says, "no wonder you don't have too many friends if you treat them like you treat me. No wonder you have no friends." The point is that Christianity is not about living in an emotional high. We live in a society where there are many who have turned Christianity into some kind of emotional thing. And I understand that, humanly speaking, people love to go to churches where the music is great and dynamic and people are involved. Some people like churches where there's a little more movement. But our traditional churches are suffering today. Many of our mainstream traditional Christian churches are suffering. And the reason many of them are suffering is because we don't dedicate ourselves to entertainment that much. Let's be honest. We've got the hymns and the hymnal, and we've got the prayer book, and we've got the Eucharist, and we got a lot of ritual to get through. The churches that, you know, are attracting many of the younger generations of Christians are churches where there's a strong entertainment element. And I don't mean this to criticize any other church. I just say it as a reality. We get tired of tradition, first of all, because we don't understand it. We've never deepened our awareness of it, of the richness that it brings. But then beyond that, we go somewhere where our emotions and our first needs can be met. And we confuse true faith and spirituality with some kind of emotional feeling or situation. But it's more than that. True spirituality in action is about coming down from the mountaintop, coming down from that emotional, spiritual high, and getting to work, being concerned for the poor and those in need, visiting the sick and caring for them, working for justice and speaking out against injustice in our world. We have to come down to this reality. You and I are called to come down to this reality, this life, because this is where God has put us. We must have our eyes fixed on Jesus, but we must never forget to keep our feet firmly on the ground. That is the key to true incarnational theology. The fact that God became flesh and dwelt among us, that he came to this reality to save this reality. As you know, we have many Christians who are observers of reality. Oh, the youth are lost. Oh, things are so bad. Oh, the addictions. Oh, the problems. They love to announce to us what's wrong with the world, but they're not engaged in seeking the true solutions that our world needs. See, the transfiguration is about seeing Jesus, seeing the glory of Jesus that we've been called to. Because we're called, by the way, to that glory. We're called to that transformation. But that transformation occurs when you and I do what must be done. When we come down from the mountain and we become builders of God's kingdom. So we can fall into the trap of saying, oh, Lord, it's so good to be here, like Peter said. Why don't we just stay and hang out? Or we can say, Lord, you've called me to so much. You're calling me to be transformed from glory to glory. And you're calling me to bring my sisters and brothers with me on this journey. We can stay at the top of the mountain, or we can go down and do God's work. What are we called to? In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.